We were, I'm not going to speak for long. I think in many ways what we've just heard speaks for itself. But when I suggested not preaching, surprisingly, and you can blame them, Sermon Circle said, oh no, you've got to say something. We did chat for quite a while at Sermon Circle on Wednesday about why we have this long Passion Gospel, as well as other biblical texts that seem to tie to it on a day that we still call Palm Sunday. And we only seem to acknowledge the palm bit of things in the initial Palm Gospel and our amble around the church, waving our palms and the like. It's a good question, because as in so many things in this institution we call the church, and I include us clergy among it, we just kind of assume that everyone knows why these things happen. The short answer is because so few people turn out for Good Friday. That's not pointing the finger at anyone. The longer answer is that it used to be, as far as I remember from my liturgical studies, that we would focus entirely on the Palm Gospel and the Liturgy of the Palms on Palm Sunday. And then that was back when religious observance was more common, and crowds would also turn out to hear the Passion narrative on Good Friday, as well as attending other events of Holy Week, including the profound Eucharist of Maundy Thursday and the vigil, the long vigil that would stretch on into the night, sometimes overnight. As attendance patterns have changed over centuries, not years, so there's no fingers being pointed, as attendance patterns changed, it was felt that the Passion narrative, the Passion narrative, the last hours of Jesus' life, should be heard by the whole church. And it was moved to the Sunday before Good Friday, so that the whole of the story is present to us in community as we enter into this journey through Holy Week. So if you didn't know that before, now you know. And if you did, you've been reminded. I think it is important to hear the story of the betrayal, the sham trial, the torture and crucifixion of Jesus, not in some kind of sadistic celebration of, quote unquote, this is what Jesus went through for you, which I grew up with, but because, like so many of the stories within our scriptures, this story does not shy away from the brutality of the everyday. And the response of empire and authorities to any who would threaten to upend the system. The Passion narrative is a core part of our shared narrative of faith, an account layered with meaning and intimation, allusion and implication. Likewise, we must remember as we come to read this, we will come with our own experiences and presuppositions, our own expectations and our own interpretations. So neither the reading nor the writing of our scriptures, and particularly the story, is done neutrally. Which is why I appreciate at this time and in this place, particularly this Sunday reading of the Passion narrative. Because I think we need to be reminded of that which we, through our systems, through our institutions, through our complicity in the systems around us, are capable of, for better or for worse. I do have a problem with the common interpretation of Holy Week, is that the crowd who go from Hosanna in the highest on one day are the crowd that appear to say crucify him on another. And that is somehow representative of the possibility of our own willingness to betray Jesus at any moment. We don't even know if it was the same crowd at both events. That's not mentioned in the text at all. That's a predominant interpretation, but we have no idea. That's what we have been told, and I believe it's what we have been told repeatedly over many years to get us to feel a certain way, to respond a certain way to that which the institution of the church has wanted us to feel over the years, particularly the church that has been wrapped up in empire. I include our own much-loved tradition in that. When Palm Sunday and the journey through Holy Week to the crucifixion of Jesus becomes reduced to our personal complicity in the death of Jesus by each one of us being a part of the crowd, when that's the only interpretation you hear, because there is validity in that, but when it's the only thing that you hear, then we become much easier to manipulate. Because it's not about those in power. It's not about those who abuse and oppress, but it's about the crowd. And in this era where the religion of empire and the empire of religion is finding itself dominant again, there is nothing more that our political leaders and those who want to take advantage of a crowd like to see than a crowd who see themselves as culpable individuals. It's so much easier and makes us so much more compliant if we are distracted by our own individual guilt than if we are called to the remembrance of a Christ who was executed because he stood for peace and for justice, for compassion and for love, for those who are excluded and who are oppressed, for the poor, the hungry, the imprisoned and the sick, and for those who are on the margins. My friend and my colleague, Scott Sharman, the National Ecumenical and Interfaith Advisor for the Anglican Church of Canada, shared this reflection a couple days ago. Quote, "Let every round find its mark against the enemies of righteousness and our great nation. Overwhelming violence of action against those who deserve no mercy. Let justice be executed swiftly and without remorse, that evil may be driven back and wicked souls delivered to the eternal damnation prepared for them." That was a part of a so-called prayer offered at the Pentagon this week by Secretary Pete Hegseth. It does not, says Scott, deserve that name. It is certainly unrecognizable as any kind of prayer for anyone who knows Jesus. I would go so far, he says, as to say that if you are wondering what qualifies as Antichrist, this is it. It is anathema from the way of the gospel. Palm Sunday marks the sharp contrast between Rome's parades of chariots, weaponry, and power designed to instill fear and submission with the very different entry of Jesus into the city in humility and mercy and self-giving that will lead to the cross. It is a day that unmasks the pretensions of violent bravado and performative toughness by refusing to mirror it and instead to choose love. And it invites each one of us to pick our own path also. "As for me," says Scott, "I'm following the guy on the donkey." May we allow these stories, these hard stories, to challenge and to change us in the name of Christ through the power of the Spirit as we journey into the good work, in the stand for justice and equity, not carrying with us individualized guilt that stops us from action. And in this week, may we celebrate a faith that stands against, in love, against empire, in this Holy Week and beyond. Amen.